Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are Visionary Women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio. And today we have a fascinating, fascinating conversation with a wonderful, wonderful person, August McLaughlin, and we are talking about, does sexual freedom mean that you're a slut? August, are you here with us?
I am, Charbane. Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, wonderful. Listen, you are the sex guru of all gurus. So I am excited to have this. Yes, I am excited to have this conversation. I think it's very important because we know that sex is such a taboo subject, and I just can't seem to figure out when it feels so good and it feels so great to do it with someone you love. Why is that such a conversation that we ought not to have?
Yes, I agree. It's really complex. I think there's such a history of shame around our sexuality, so it kind of goes generationally down through the familial pipelines, so that we don't learn much in school, and there's all these crazy mixed messages that we hear, you know, from culture. And so I agree. It's natural. It should be seen as fun and clean and healthy, and it's unfortunate that there's so much shame.
You know, I wondered to myself, August, why is it that having sex and having a lot of it seems to be like a subject where women are considered the villain in the subject? Never do you ever hear that men are the sluts. Have you ever noticed that? Like, the men are the cool guys. They get the high fives. But the women, they're the ones with the scarlet letter. Why is that?
It's so true. Yes, there is no male equivalent of the word slut. Like, when I've asked people that, because I get challenged on that quite a bit, you know, I have this shirt from the wonderful Emily Linden, who has a project called the Unslut Project, and the shirt says, define slut. And every once in a while, somebody will say, oh, well, that's, you know, a sexually promiscuous woman. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And, you know, they're like, well, a woman who, and it's hard to define, right? Because what do you say? Somebody who has a lot of sex? And if that's the case, what's wrong with that, you know? And when you think of the word promiscuous, it's really not used to describe guys very often, if at all. It's a really derogatory term. And even if it did describe men, I think we have to look at the fact that we have this very hefty word that means, you know, having sex with, first of all, how do you define a lot? And why is it such a bad thing?
Yeah, you know what's so crazy? Because here it is, we actually live in a society that promotes sex everywhere. I mean, damn, we even got it on the Hardee's commercials. Seriously? On the Hardee's commercials, where now people are eating French fries, all very voluptuous breasts hanging out, et cetera. And you know, seriously,
yeah.
Et cetera. And now we live in such a sexual society, but yet still, we have these conservative morals that will not even allow us to confront the obvious truth. Why do we live in this vortex that kind of makes you out to be a hypocrite, one would say? Because you live in a society that promotes, I would say, like a false narrative of what moral fiber should be. But then the greatest ratings in the advertising world comes from sexual exploits. Why is that?
Yeah, it's really confusing, right? It's very polarizing, and it's really hypocritical if you think about it, because, like you said, it's promoted in the media, but it's used to sell. So we equate sexuality and a very certain kind of sexuality with money and with lust and with success, but especially women are taught that they have to be sexual in a very particular way from the media. But then if you act that way, then you're called a slut. And I think a big reason is that we learn very little about our bodies or sexuality growing up. Mm. And that's a big problem. You know, most people, I've asked hundreds of people what they learn in sex ed, and most of them tell me either nothing, or they learned that sex is bad, or that sex is for guys,
yeah.
or, you know, don't sit on toilet seats because you're going to get a disease. And it's like one semester, one course when you're going through puberty, and it's a time when you're already really, really confused, and you have all these weird hormonal things happening, and your body's changing. We should be talking about our sexuality as soon as we're curious, which is when we're little kids. It's totally normal
yeah.
for a toddler to say, you know, what is this? And to have her fingers touching her vulva, you know, and obviously you don't want to encourage that behavior out in public, but if that happens and your parents or an aunt or uncle or a teacher, you know, you say, well, there are certain things that you can do in public and certain things that are reserved for private. There's nothing wrong with touching your vulva. And by the way, you should say vulva, not that mysterious place down there. Or, you know,
yeah.
what I heard when I was little was like, don't ever touch that. You'll go to hell. So I think it really comes down to embracing ourselves early on and having some understanding of how our sexuality works.
I wonder, too, is this, do you think, this false narrative of sexuality, you know, because it goes back to the actual beginning of time, you know, when humans existed. And if you want to go into the biblical sense of it, you know, Eve and Adam, I mean, they had Cain and Abel. They had to have had sex at some point. So can we honestly say that this false narrative of sexuality was more so to maybe submit ourselves to this dogma of what sex should be, instead of actually making it something encouraging when you come into a loving, lasting relationship? Because when you mentioned about the kids touching themselves, you know, I have a 2-year-old little boy, and any chance he can get to get naked, I mean, he enjoys. I have 4 children, and this kid, which you've accidentally met, he is one of those kids who would love to be naked all the time. And he does this little dance where he says, I'm shaking my hiney. I'm shaking my hiney. And so I'm sitting here saying to myself, how did we go from this false narrative of sexuality to don't touch your body parts at all? It may just encourage you to want to be sexual. Like, how did we get here?
Yeah, it's you're totally right. And I love that your son is so free with his body and that you see the good in that. It's totally normal. And, you know, again, it's so complicated. And you mentioned religion, and I think that's a huge, huge factor for a lot of people. And, you know, for a long time and still now, it's a form of control to try to keep people, you know, like you said, I think you were used the word submit or to be submissive or to be when there's fear involved, you know. And I think especially, again, women are exposed to so much more shame than men
yeah.
are. And I do think it goes back to, you know, the patriarchy and all of that. And then, like you said, it's really bizarre because it's very opposite in our entertainment that we see, which also encourages a very particular kind of sexuality. And I think, well, women who are very sexually active, however you define that, are often considered slutty or sluts, or even if they look like they're sexually active, which is so
right.
bizarre, right? Like if a woman has, or especially an adolescent, and this really breaks my heart, is when a 12 or 13 or 15-year-old girl is developing breasts rapidly or has large breasts, then she's also deemed a slut. That's really unfortunate. But then we also have this pressure now to, you know, to not be a prude. And to, if you are, it's perfectly okay to desire sex often. It's perfectly okay to not desire sex often. And I think that's something that all genders need to be encouraged. I also see a lot of men being pressured to be like sexual supermen. You know what I mean? Like they have to be able to, you know, get hard right away and be turned on all the time. And if they don't, then they're not masculine. So there's so many mixed messages, and you're totally right. I think it's unfortunate, and it's something we need to keep talking about.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if it's I wonder to myself if it's more generational. Because let's just keep it honest. I was born in 84, okay? So if I was born in 84, my generation of women, you know, we were listening to LL Cool J. We were listening to Salt and Pepper, Push It, Push It. You know what I'm saying? We grew up in a generation of women who were okay with the idea of sex, and we were okay with learning about sex. I think, in my opinion, my professional opinion, I think it was a bigger mistake with the sex education because it kind of watered down the sexual experience. Because what they teach you in sex ed is not realistic. They teach you don't have sex, and if you do, use a condom, because if you don't, you're going to get someone pregnant or you're going to get a disease. That is the summary of that whole curriculum, literally.
Yeah.
So what happens to the intimate part? What happens to connecting soul to soul with someone? What happens to actually connecting with yourself during the experience? What happens to all of those things? Because we miss a lot of that.
Yes, and you hit the nail on the head. I think we've definitely come a long way, and I do think it's getting better as time goes on. At the same time, our sex education is pretty archaic. When you look at kind of the manuals that are used and the guidelines, it's exactly what you just said, and there's no mention of pleasure, which needs to be central to it. That's completely skipped over, and it shouldn't be controversial, but it completely is. And, you know, we see time and time again that when people are empowered, especially women are given control of their sexuality and they're allowed to make their own choices and to learn about their bodies and encouraged to masturbate, if, you know, which is a very healthy thing. And also, by the way, is, you know, you aren't, there's no chance of pregnancy or STD. So there's all these wonderful benefits, and it's completely missed. And I really do think that that underlies so many problems. You know, it's a big reason, in my opinion, that so many teenage and adolescent and early 20s girls and women end up struggling a lot with anxiety and stress and depression and all the things that pleasure really helps release. Because if you look at it, you know, even if you have some sex ed and you're listening to, you know, LL Cool J and you're like, I watch Sex in the City and I think sex is awesome.
Yes.
It's almost impossible to grow up in our culture and not absorb some level of shame. And oftentimes we don't even know we're ashamed. Like, I was ashamed of my sexuality for a long time and had no idea. I was like, I didn't even know that I hadn't talked about sex until I was sitting in this college class at age 20, and the professor said, we're going to talk about sex today. And like all the lights went on for me because I had had sex and I'd never talked about it. Like, what is up with that? And I started to really investigate. And I think that's what we all have to kind of do is advocate for ourselves, because like you said, because of the generational differences, so many, you know, parents don't know what to teach their kids because they didn't learn much. But I do think pleasure is a huge part of it. That needs to be embraced and encouraged from early on, and there should never be shame around it.
Exactly. And you know what I find, too, when we place shame on our children for something that's so natural and innate to the human experience, because at some point in time you will engage in it unless you are some monk. If you are a monk or a nun or a priest, you may not get there. But if for everyone else, you will have that experience. So when you make people feel ashamed of something that's supposed, it's almost as if that's like making people feel ashamed of eating. Having sex is no different than literally giving your body nourishment. So when we do that, we don't realize that you're literally making someone engage in something that's now going against their conscience. Now they're trying to feel like, well, I have to have sex in this constrained box, and if I don't, there is something wrong with me, when in actuality there was nothing wrong with you from the beginning. Yes, sex should be enjoyed. Yes, you should engage in it, but you should also be very responsible. So it's like the birds and the bees conversation is kind of jaded because it's leaving out so much when it comes to sex.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's very limiting, and you're so right. I think it's so important to know that there are so many different sexual, not only sexual orientations, but gender identities. There's so much that we don't cover.
Yes.
So you mentioned monks and nuns for sure are you know, a lot less likely, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know if there are some denominations of them that accept it, but I know that, you know, there's somewhere between 1-2% of people are asexual, and they don't experience sexual attraction. So and that's okay too. But
really?
If you don't know that, oh yeah, yeah. It's a really important topic that gets missed, and I think it's something that needs to be included in sex ed. Because imagine if you're going through your adolescence and teens, and you're learning about this thing that you're supposed to avoid, and you're supposed to, like, you know, squelch these urges, and you're like, dude, I don't have any urges, you know, then you're also going to think you're broken, and that's not
wow.
a good thing. So yeah, the more we learn, the better. And I would just love to see, you know, some sort of curriculum. I think one thing that freaks people out about teaching some kind of sex ed early on is they think they're going to teach little kids how to have sex, and that's not the point. It's
right.
That certainly is not
what
would go down. It would be teaching them about their bodies and making it very age appropriate.
Right, and then also allowing them also to have something to look forward to. You know, it's so funny because as you were speaking about this, I had this very interesting thought. If we're going to become a society that is so closed off to sex, please take the Viagra pill commercial off, please, while I'm watching my show. Just take Viagra off. And the little pink pill, get rid of her too.
Yeah.
Because you're advertising something that you don't want me to engage in. And that's almost like promoting cigarettes on TV, but then telling children don't smoke, it's going to give you cancer, it's going to kill you. You know, it's either or. It's either it's a great thing to experience, and the woman is on the commercial with her husband or her man, and, you know, they're walking into the hotel, and everyone's looking amazing. You know, her hair's flawless. And then they look like they are truly engaged with each other. Or everyone turn your TV off, no sex, no thoughts. We're just going to sit here like
yeah.
furniture. You know what I'm saying? You cannot
yeah,
have it both ways. Right.
Yeah.
So how do we start living in a society that is comfortable with our own sexual identity, however that may look?
It's a great question. And I really do think that at least now it has to start with us each as individuals. Luckily now there are a lot of great resources online. You know, Planned Parenthood does an amazing job of educating people about sexuality and sexual health, and they address pleasure and everything else. And I think we all need to look at our own lives and our relationships with our bodies and you know, what we did learn, what we didn't learn, and then have those conversations. Like, what you're doing is awesome. I love that you're bringing this topic to your show, because it's so interesting when I tell people what I do when I meet somebody, you know, just for the first time, and we're just sort of chit-chatting. Very often when I say, you know, I host a show called Girl Boner, my brand is called Girl Boner, they're like, but you seem so nice. And there's this sort of, you know, they think it's contradictory. And one of my goals is to undo that and be like, you know, I mean, it's completely fine if your sexuality, the way that you feel about it, you're turned on by calling things dirty and you like the really kinky stuff and whatever, that's great.
Right.
But I think that we also need to have, we have this sort of, quote, good girl, bad girl thing, where the bad girls have sex and the good girls avoid it and then have it in the context of marriage only with one person, and either to procreate or to please their partner.
Right.
Guy. You know, it's just, it's so limiting, and it's sad. So I do think conversations, and, you know, conversations with your girlfriends, conversations with your kids, start somewhere. There's some really awesome books out there. There's one called Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski, and a lot of women have really, really benefited from her work. And I think, you know, places like that are great. And if you feel, first of all, if you feel ashamed about your sexuality or talking about sex, that's okay. I feel like there's almost shame about having shame too. You know, like you feel bad that you feel bad, and it's okay. Just accept where you are, and, you know, put a book on your Kindle so that not everybody knows you're reading a book called, like, Let's Talk Sex or whatever. And,
right.
You know, be patient with yourself. I think that's super important.
Right. Because see, that's the whole, I think is vital, because sex doesn't have to be explained to anyone. You know, in my mind, I don't have to explain my sexual thoughts, feelings, or have it validated by you or anyone else. It's like, if you are asexual and you like being that way, then be so asexual. You are, like, just the most asexual person on the planet. If you are,
yeah.
I know, for real, like, if you are the most sexual-oriented woman, and listen, you can't think, you know, have a cup of coffee without just
getting love. Go get all the love you can get. But my thing is, how do we stop looking for other people to validate our sexual experience and our own sexual identity?
Great question. I think we have to be aware that we're doing it. I think it's super easy to be looking for validation from others. And one thing that I have found to be fairly common is, you know, women looking to their partners to validate their sexuality. Like, they're so concerned about not being a good partner or, you know, not being sexy enough or not being attractive enough, when chances are the partner's crazy about them and everything's great and all they want is for you to have pleasure. Like, you know, I think it's really, really important to, you know, to have the awareness. And it starts with asking those questions of yourself. And then once you notice that you're doing it, it's so much easier to stop yourself and to really kind of logically look at it and say, you know, why do I need this magazine or this TV show or this person to tell me that my sexuality is okay? And simply, you know, telling yourself that it's perfect and beautiful the way it is, even if you don't fully believe it yet, I think is a really powerful step. It's like those affirmations where you look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know, I am beautiful, you are beautiful, I love you, and it feels so cheesy, but it works. Like, there's research that shows that those words, that changing our language is huge, which is why it's so important to stop using words like slut and to really start being gentle with yourself. Like, would you talk to a friend that way? No.
Exactly. Oh, my God, August, we have a caller calling in. Hold on 1 second. Here's the line. Hi, caller. This is Charmaine at the Visionary Hotspot. And today the question is, does sexual freedom mean that you're a slut?
I disagree with that comment. No, mm-hmm. I do not agree that sexual freedom means any type of labels. I believe
Wonderful.
In freedom
mm-hmm.
for both men and women. And
okay.
I believe that as long as it feels good, as long as it is not something that goes against your own emotions and true person, you know, if you're true to yourself and you're doing something that is true to you, whatever it is, if it is sexual freedom or any type of behavior, I completely respect people that are true to themselves.
Oh, my goodness, caller, that is like a breath of fresh air, because you just summarized it. Being true to yourself allows you to live in sexual freedom. If you're enjoying it and it's something that brings you pleasure, why do we avoid it? Oh, my God, thank you so much for calling us, caller. We appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Input. It was amazing.
My pleasure. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for having
me. So, August, what did you think?
I agree. She really did summarize it. It's all about what works for you and being true to yourself. Authenticity is everything in life, but also in the context of sexuality. And that also means that if you are a deeply religious person and you want to not have sex until you're married, that's great too. You know, you don't have to. I think sexual freedom, sometimes people hear it and they think, oh, it means like going to Woodstock and having orgies. And, you know, it's sexual freedom
right.
means being free of shame and free of stigma and free to enjoy yourself and free to be you. She said it beautifully.
Oh, my God. Listen, that caller was so insightful, because she hit it on the head in a way where it's literally a breath of fresh air. We have got to learn to live in our freedom by taking that freedom back and not allowing ourselves to indulge in something that does not justify the means of who we are. Everyone, hold on. We're getting ready to take a commercial break, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Join us at thevisionarywoman.com, a media network of women, for women, by women. Watch our hosts of insightful video exchange interviews. Listen to the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio to empower your evenings and read fascinating articles of perseverance and inspiration, all with you in mind. Visit
thevisionarywoman.com and follow us on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yes, everyone. So we're back on the other side of our commercial, and today we're talking about, does sexual freedom mean that you're a slut? And we're here having this amazing conversation with the sex guru herself, August McLaughlin. How are you, dear?
I am so happy to be talking to you, Charmaine. You just have the best energy, and I love our chats. You're so much fun.
Yes, because listen, we're here to transform thought. We're here to transform minds, and you cannot do that if we're not keeping it real. And I think that's some of the biggest problem when talking about sex. We're not living in honesty. There is no way that we can honestly say that we don't deserve sexual pleasure. And there's no way that we should want to feel that way, even if that is the way that we feel. It's time to start breaking down those barriers that's keeping us sexually boxed in, because it's almost like suffocating. I mean, literally.
Yeah, it absolutely is, I think. And it's so damaging on so many levels. And it's, you won't even know how freeing and beautiful it is to move past all of that shame and those mixed messages that you've internalized until you start moving toward it. And it's just one of the most beautiful journeys and gifts you can give yourself. And it's a gift that you give yourself, and then you're able to share it with whoever else you want to, which is great. It's so good for your relationships and for your self-esteem. And I personally think our sexuality is in the air we breathe, the words we say, our walk and our talk. It's such a beautiful part of us. And once you do really embrace that, and it's a journey, you know, you just take baby steps and sometimes leaps and bounds, and you move forward. And anytime you become more at peace with yourself, you know, it opens up so many doors.
It does. And you know what, too, not to mention what it can do for your health. You know, you and I, we've had this conversation before when we talked about, you know, what is the closest experience that we could, earth beings, have within having a supernatural experience. And in my head, having an orgasm is one of the closest experiences in this earthly form that we could possibly have to something that's supernatural, because, you know, it's the only thing in the body, as you taught me a very long time ago, that was created simply for pleasure. You know what I'm saying? Like, the brain was created to think. It was created to give thought. It was created to inspire, the whole bit. It was created to learn. You know, other parts of the body was created to do multifunctioning things. But your sexual person, I'll put it that way, just for ratings' sake, sexual interperson,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? That particular part of our bodies were created specifically for that. So how can we start looking at sex from that perspective?
Gosh, you know, I think, first of all, some people are hearing you say that, and it's the first time that they've considered it. And that's a big step, just hearing that and processing it and having the awareness and committing yourself to that. And I do think that prioritizing pleasure is really important, and that relates to sex and the rest of our lives too. But I do think it's very easy to, you know, get caught up in how busy we are with things and work, and if you have kids and, you know, social life and volunteering, whatever it is that you do. So many people are just stressed right now, and I think not only is prioritizing pleasure an important form of self-care, but as you just said, orgasm is a really powerful Zen experience. I mean, it's, to me, it's the most present that you can ever be in any moment. And you get so many physical and emotional benefits. It's helpful for headaches. It's helpful for blood pressure. It's helpful for certain cancer risks. I mean, it goes on and on. There's reasons and so many rewards that are there. But I do think it kind of falls off the proverbial to-do list sometimes. Like, I work with a wonderful sex and relationship therapist, Dr. Megan, on my show, and she's always talking about, you know, you have to keep your sexual pilot light turned on, and if sexy is not part of your day, however, that doesn't mean you're going to have sex every day, but it could be maybe sexy is a really sultry bath, or maybe it's a really romantic meal or, you know, an intimate massage or conversation with someone or whatever. But our sensuality needs to be nurtured too. So I think prioritizing it is a big deal. And if it's not on your radar at all, you know, take a step. Maybe it's like once a week or once a month. But, you know, bit by bit, I think every step that you take can be really, really helpful.
Wonderful. Well, listen, August, when my audience wants to talk to you, when they want to hear from you, how do we quickly reach you?
The best way would be to hit up my website, which is augustmclaughlin.com, and my last name is MC Laugh, L-A-U-G-H-L-I-N, or girlboner.org is easier to remember, and it redirects there. And I'm also very reachable on every social media network. Just Google Girl Boner, and I pop up everywhere.
Oh, my God, everyone. We are so excited to have August McLaughlin here with us. It's about does sexual freedom mean that you're a slut, and we obviously found out that it doesn't. So thanks, everyone, for joining me today at the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio. We'll see you next week. Remember, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time every Thursday. Bye.
Bye.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me. And we are visionary women.